We're in this series on justice, and it's a confusing topic to me personally, because there's a lot that influences that word in our culture and in our world. It's been challenging to me personally and convicting. Like, I've felt like God saying, I need you to grow in this area, and that doesn't feel comfortable. We've looked at what the Bible says about justice and how it can be defined as having right relationships with God, whether it's personally or as a corporate body. We've looked at a little bit on what does it look like to live in right relationship with our neighbor. We've seen that there's two Hebrew words in the Bible that are used for justice, and one of them, it talks about being in right relationship, seeking that out. And the other one talks about actually like a rectifying justice, like making things right that have been wronged. And we've seen that if we're actually pursuing living in right relationships, then this idea of needing to make things right that are wrong won't be necessary, because we will have already done that. We'll be in right relationships. Today we're going to take just a few moments and we're going to look at what the Bible says about being in right relationship with the vulnerable. I'm passionate about this topic. And when you talk about something you're passionate about publicly, you can feel puked on. You can feel like I just gush and I just tell you all these stories. So I feel like I'm trying to restrain myself. And you should know that this is just going to be a taste. So if you really want to know what I think about this, grab me. We can hang out and I'll just tell you story and story and story about how God has challenged me in this in my life. Before we take a look at this, I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask God to fill me with the Spirit and speak to us, because I feel like I need to grow in this, and possibly you might need to too. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we can gather like this. The freedoms that we have, those are gifts from you. Help us to handle those wisely. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit. I pray that all of us will hear your voice today and your heart for the people on the fringes of our lives. I pray that you will call us to something more and then help us do it. In your name, amen. So living in right relationships with the vulnerable, it begs the question, who are the vulnerable? Like, who are these people? And it's a great question to start with. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. You know, God's heart for the vulnerable, it is seen throughout Scripture in its entirety, like beginning to end, over and over again, and it's usually very clear and very direct, sometimes uncomfortably so. And so for our time today, I'm just going to give you a couple pictures of how this happens in Scripture, and then I would encourage you to read the Bible through the lens of what is God's heart for the vulnerable, and you will be shocked at how often it comes up. And you will be uncomfortable with how strong God speaks about it. As we look through the Scripture for what the vulnerable are, who they are, these kind of, I call them categories, repeat themselves. God's heart for the orphan, the widow, the foreigner is frequently seen. And one example of this is in the book of Zechariah, which is towards the end of the Old Testament. And for 70 years, on the fifth and seventh month, the people of Israel, God's people, they had set time aside to fast. And that seems like some pretty solid commitment, like, to God and what he's called them to do. And God speaks to Zechariah and he says, go to the people and the priests, don't leave the priests out of this, and ask them, are you really living for God, or are you just doing these spiritual acts? Are you living for what God has called you to care about and live for, or are you just kind of checking the boxes? And then God doesn't actually give a lot of time for response, and he gives Zechariah more to share. And he says this in verses 9 to 10 of chapter 7. Says this, this is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. Through Zechariah here, God is repeating a command that has stood with his people for generations, to not oppress widows orphans, foreigner, poor. These are groups of people that God has described and named as vulnerable. And this is not new news to these people. And in this context, God is saying, if all you're doing are these religious actions, such as fasting, then you've missed my heart. You've missed my heart. And he says that to you and I too. If all we do is come here, gather together, worship, sing our songs, listen to some person up here share, and then we go and don't wrestle with how God wants to change us and care about what he cares about, we have missed it. I'm speaking to myself here. Maybe you too. Another place we see where God refers to the vulnerable is in Psalms. In chapter 68, God is kind of giving a description of himself, who he is and what he cares about. And it comes in a worship song that David is singing about who God is. And as he gets started in this song, he says this in verses 4 to 5 of 68. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. That would be sweet to see. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. As David breaks forth in worship, the first way he describes God is his heart for the vulnerable. It's who he is. And these are just two places that I pulled out where God is showing his heart for the vulnerable, those on the outside, and his expectation for how his people are supposed to be in relationship with them. So who does God say the vulnerable are? I mean, he focuses on these groups. We saw that he cares about the widow, the poor, the orphan, the foreigner. But why? You know, what makes these people vulnerable? You know, the foreigner, they were vulnerable because they didn't have a community around them. They didn't have a place to belong. They were on the outside, and there was no protection around them. It left them vulnerable. Orphans and widows, they found themselves in a similar situation. They didn't have family units around them. And in a society where family units were very important for protection, for provision, they didn't have those things. The vulnerable, they were alone. They were easy to take advantage of. And at best, they had a very, very, very quiet voice in society. The reason God cares about the vulnerable throughout Scripture in its entirety is because those of us who are choosing to live for Christ are supposed to care, and we're supposed to do things differently than the world around us as we interact with them. And beyond that, we seek out the vulnerable in the world around us because we were once vulnerable. We were lost. We were slaves to sin. We were fatherless, and God saw fit to try to make a way for us to be in right relationship with him, and he did that through his son, Jesus. And even beyond that, we're called to be in right relationship with the vulnerable in our communities because we want to be with Jesus, and Jesus is with the vulnerable. That's like that. If you wonder where he's at, that's where he's at. Matthew 25. Jesus addresses this, says this in verses 31 to 43. And I'm going to give a disclaimer here. These are strong words. Like what I'm about to read, fair warning, is going to make you uncomfortable, and it should make us uncomfortable. God does not use soft words here. Starting in verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he's going to put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. That was me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Wow. That is strong. Recently, I read Bob Goff's book, Everybody Always. In fact, I read it twice in 2 weeks. And in this is a book where he's addressing, we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to love everybody. Even the people we don't like, even the people who annoy us, even the people we don't agree with, even the people we don't get along with, even the people who mistreat us, we're supposed to love those people too. That's what the Bible says. So how do we do this? And in that book, he summarizes this section of scripture, and I'm going to read it for you because I think we need to hear it again in a little bit different voice. This is what Bob said. From what I read, we'll get a chance to meet Jesus, and we're going to have a discussion with him. It's not the kind of discussion someone has when they get sent to the principal at school. It will be more of an uncovering, a revealing of what we didn't understand during our lives. For most of us, I bet it will involve a tremendous unlearning of many things that we thought we were certain of. Jesus refers to two groups. He called them sheep and goats when he talked about the discussion we'll have with him. But he meant you and me. He said we'll talk about how we treated the people we came across during our lives and whether we treated them as if they were him. The hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, people who are sick or don't have clothes, people under bridges and in jail cells. Jesus told his friends, we'll all hear about the things about the times we saw him during our lives but didn't recognize him, and maybe a couple times we did. And I'm going to have many questions for God. Sadly, it seems none of the questions on my list are the things that Jesus will want to discuss with me. Jesus is not going to want to talk about our elections or impeachments, who got the rose on The Bachelor, or who got the boot from the boss. What it seems he'll care about most is how we treated the people on the fringes of our lives. He'll want to talk about whether we gave them a hug or some much-needed help. All of this because he said if we did the kinds of things for the lonely and hurting and isolated in the world, we were really doing it for him. And I can hear how the discussion with the first group would go when they did things but didn't know it was Jesus that they were doing them for. It'll go like this. Wait, really? That was you? No way. The guy with the tattooed cuss words, the prostitute, the guy in jail, the kid in Uganda, the lawyer, the school teacher, the politician. We didn't even know it was you. We just decided to help people the way you told us to. The second group is going to be just as surprised by what they hear Jesus say. This group didn't intend maybe to be mean or uncaring. They're a lot like you and me in this way. And I'm sure they probably would have been more than willing to help if Jesus would have just asked. But when the hungry or thirsty or sick or strange people came along, or when people without clothes came by, they didn't know what to do, so they didn't do anything. It wasn't that they maybe disagreed with Jesus or folded their arms and refused to help. They made a simple mistake. In fact, I make this mistake almost every day. They didn't recognize that these people were actually Jesus. These people didn't dress like him or talk like him or act like him. In fact, the opposite was true. They lived in a way and did things that were quite the opposite of how Jesus lived. Some of the things they did landed them in jail or left them in perilous situations. Jesus knew this. And he said, if we wanted to be with him, if we wanted to be with him, we'd stop playing it safe and we would go talk to them instead of talking about them. Man, I definitely see myself as a second group person a lot of the time in this description. In this scripture, it is clear and it helps me get a picture of what it looks like to live in right relationship with the vulnerable. And it's going to be with Jesus because that's where he's at. You know, when confronted with this reality, when we read this and we let these direct words sit, honestly, I feel compelled to repent because I think he's talking to me. And confess. And throughout the series, we have taken time as a group to read confession to the God. And so before I move to a couple practicals on the as I conclude, we're going to do that now. We're going to read a confession. I will read the part that is not in yellow, and then you will join me in the part in yellow. Does that make sense? If not, I'll just read the whole thing, and you can pray as you go. Lord, you showed us true humility by becoming one of us, yet too often we practice pride. You cried alongside your friends and for the city of Jerusalem, yet too often we rush past the pain of others and are careless about our cities. You loved those who were weak, despised, or cast out, yet too often we love those who are strong, respected, or popular. You freely forgave and healed, yet too often we hold grudges and cause pain. You lived a perfectly holy life, yet too often we yearn for righteousness. You prayed that we who believe in you should be united with each other and you, yet too often we focus on the differences that separate us from other believers. You were mocked, whipped, and even killed for us, yet too often we deny you. You call us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, yet too often we blend into our culture. Forgive us, Lord, so that we will shine for your glory. Amen. So now what? I mean, this is just a taste. This is just like a scratch of the surface of this topic. How do we move from where we're at to being in right relationship with the vulnerable? This is something that I have wrestled with in my life. I've been convicted by things like similar to what we read today. I've attempted some stuff. I've ignored a lot. I've had many opportunities to repent. So I'm going to give us three places that we possibly could start. The first one is to look around us and see who's vulnerable. Like, who's on the outside of our own sphere of life and community? And how can they be brought in? I've seen people around here do this, like in this community. There are foreigners and refugees in our community that have settled in this part of the state, and I've seen and observed people here work with organizations to come alongside them and welcome them here. Scarlet Middle School, where we have partnered, and that community around there is an area where a lot of refugees get settled, and that's one of the reasons we've chosen to try to focus there. We've tried to grow our connection with widows, and I've seen people in this body do this, and it's one of the reasons that drove our desire to try to come alongside the elderly in our community, because widows are vulnerable, and it's where Jesus is at, and we want to be there. There are some in this community that have been moved to care for orphans, whether through adoption or fostering. And I could take, honestly, I could just talk to you every week for weeks and weeks on end on the need of the orphan. But for today, I'm going to temper some of my passion and just say, the needs of the orphans in the world are no different now than they were when God and Jesus were penning and writing and saying these words. It has not changed, and we need to care and do things about it. Another place I've seen people in this community engage in the people on the fringes of their lives, it has been something I've observed in my home group. You guys know about home groups. If you don't have a home group, you should get in a home group. For my family, it is how we are able to trudge through this life. Life is hard, right? It's not easy. And we need people around us to walk with us in it so that we can attempt to continue to follow Jesus. That's my plug for a home group. But there's a guy in my home group who he had been moved into a different position in the company that he works. Position of influence. And in this, there was a lot of restructuring going on. And in that, it left people vulnerable, like their jobs were at stake. And I watched him fight. And for those people, like he saw them, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to work to try to find them other places in the company. For work. It was challenging personally to watch this play out, to see him recognize where God put him and represent Jesus for those people. I've seen people in this community do it within their own families. You know, in our families, sometimes there's those people on the edge. Maybe the people that have hurt us. Maybe the people that we don't necessarily agree with. And I've seen them step out of themselves and try to bring those people in their family closer to themselves. Another practical is if you don't see the vulnerable around you, ask God to show you them. Like, just ask him. Ask him where he's at, and then take a step of courage to go join him there. And when he does, go talk to those people. Go talk to him. And the last practical I'll give is just go to another community where the vulnerable have gathered. This has been, for me, in my life, what has helped me the most set aside my selfishness for just a little bit, my crave for comfort for maybe just a little bit, and go. It has taken me to other parts of the world, in particular in East Africa and then in Latin America. And there are so many different ways you could do this. One way, we do have an opportunity for you to join us in March. Beginning of March, we're going to go over U of M spring break. Anybody can go. I'm going. And we're going to go back to El Salvador. And the vulnerable have gathered there. And we will go a lot how David shared during his slice. God's heart is for those people on the edge. And his heart for his people is to bring those people away from the edge and into our community. This is hard. It's not comfortable. It will cost you maybe everything you have. But you will find Jesus there because that's where he's at. As I close, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help us. Because this takes a supernatural act to change my heart. And it might be the same for you too. God, I thank you for your heart for the vulnerable. Because I was vulnerable. And oftentimes I am still vulnerable. I pray that as we seek you, you will call us to something greater. In your name, amen.
Thanks so much, Greg. As we enter into a time of worship and communion together, you have an opportunity to come up and receive the bread and dip it in the juice. And remember that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat, do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood poured out to take away your sins. Drink all of it, do this in remembrance of me." And so we're going to worship him together. And I encourage you in this time to let this question as a prayer to God ring through your minds. God, how are you getting our attention today? How are you getting our attention today? Because ultimately, there is a lot of pull on your life from a lot of different directions to do a lot of different things, but we need to be a people who hear from the Lord. Amen? So in this time, God, how are you getting our attention today? Let's worship him.